This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Maybe it will be and maybe it won't. Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, BrownsZone.com, where you can read all of Scott Petrak's work. Hello, Scotty.
Hey, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
We're at MGM Northfield Park. We're having fun. We got televisions all around us. We're seeing all this stuff, and I haven't seen the Browns on any of these things yet. But let me throw this one at you. NFL.com says if the Browns win tonight,
ooh,
they still have a 1% chance of making the playoffs.
That's an upgrade from less than
1%. If they win tonight, 1%, Scott. Here we go.
Yeah, it would probably be zero if they lost. Right?
They said it was under 1% if they lost. Yeah,
I mean, 7-9,
completely eliminated. But
yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're pretty much done as we speak.
Yeah.
I know Myles Garrett wants to cling to any hope, and that's fine. He can look for motivation anywhere he can find it, and I appreciate that thought. And if you were a player, it would make sense, right? That's what you're playing for, is to get to the playoffs. But it would take a miracle. Doesn't mean they can't do good things over the last six games, starting tonight against the Broncos, but I would not be counting on a trip to the playoffs.
Scott, give me some reasons to watch. Give me a couple reasons why I should watch tonight.
Yeah,
I'm going to, but if you're listening, you'll be like,
maybe because you like
watch
football and the Browns.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good point, too.
Yeah, that's at the top of my list. I'm working on a mailbag, and somebody asked me, like, what to be thankful for. I'm like, oh, you get to watch, you know, NFL in your hometown, your team. That on in itself, I think, has some value. But this matchup, first of all, I think it's going to be a good game. I really do. I also think there's some interesting matchups. We talked about Jerry Jeudy going back to Denver. So that's got its own storyline. But then you have him going up against Pat Surtain II, who he expects to follow him across the field. And Surtain is really good. He might be the best corner in the league. Denzel Ward says Denzel Ward is the best corner in the league, but Surtain is certainly up there. I think they're both in that conversation. Surtain covers the number one guy on every team they face, whether it's a receiver or a tight end, and they don't have good numbers. So it's going to be interesting if Jameis Winston tries to force the ball to Jeudy, and that gives Surtain some opportunities to make some interceptions, make some plays on the ball. So I like that matchup. Myles Garrett has three sacks in two of his last three games and is going against Garrett Bowles at left tackle. Myles didn't have a sack against him last year. Got hurt in the second quarter with that shoulder and kept playing, but wasn't the same. But he's on fire. He's got a chance to get to 100 sacks for his career if he gets 1.5. So that's something to watch. I just think it's going to be a good game. And, you know, I think the Browns, while obviously the season has been a massive disappointment, I do think there's some strong performances being had by guys like Garrett and Ward. And you can go down the list a little bit.
I'm kind of intrigued to watch Jameis Winston go up against a good Denver defense coached by the man who gave him a chance in New Orleans, where Jameis went 5-2 as a starter for Sean Payton.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before, guys. Where do the Browns go at quarterback? How much of a factor is Jameis Winston in this moving forward? Right? He's not under contract beyond this year. Can he be your starter week one next year? I certainly think that is on the table. I think there's a bunch of other alternatives as well. But Winston could be the default. He is here right now. Guys in the locker room really like him. He's played pretty well in his four starts. They won two of those games. If he can continue to play well, I think he can establish himself as the favorite to be the week one starter next year. Now, I don't think this is an easy matchup. You mentioned the Broncos defense. They're at the top of near the top of a bunch of categories defensively. They lead the league in sacks. We know the Browns have struggled in pass protection all year. Now, it's gotten better lately with the return to health by some of the linemen, and Winston helps get the ball out quicker than Watson did. But that's still a big challenge. Like, that's priority number one, is to give Winston time to throw against Nick Benito and some of those guys on that Broncos front. And then you have the Sean Payton factor. And, you know, I know that these defensive coaches watch so much tape that they probably know every weakness that Jameis Winston has, and he's been in the league for a decade. But there is some, you know, behind-the-scenes knowledge there that Payton has of Winston to being around him for 2 years in New Orleans and watching him start seven games, probably the best seven-game stretch of Winston's career. They went 5-2. Yeah. I think it was 14 touchdowns and 3 picks. So, you know, does Payton have some kind of magic insight into Winston that really helps the Broncos? He might. So I do think that's something else that I'm interested in watching.
Let's talk about Jerry Jeudy just a little bit more. I know you touched on it, but, I mean, obviously – you know, things have changed for him since Amari Cooper is no longer with the Browns. And you know, for him, this game and what it means, and, you know, there are always little moments in a season, even when things are going sideways, where you get that kind of a player who could be super fired up for a game like tonight.
Oh, no doubt. And I think Cooper getting traded is certainly a part of this. I would argue the biggest part is Jameis Winston at quarterback. He's giving all the receivers, including Jerry Jeudy, a chance, and a chance to have success. You know, they're running out routes, and he's giving them, you know, he's putting the ball on them. If they're getting deep, he's giving a ball. He's giving them the ball underneath with the chance to make run after catch like Jeudy did against New Orleans. So I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, you get to know these guys as the season goes on. So we've known Jeudy for a couple months now. He does not lack for confidence at all. And when he talks about what didn't go right in Denver, you know, he takes responsibility for some drops as a rookie. But then a lot of it is, hey, I didn't get the chances. I was open. Guys weren't throwing me the ball. You know, they had turnover at head coach, turnover at coordinator, turnover at quarterback. So he just felt like the Broncos never took advantage of his skill set, and that's starting to show here. And we have to see how high that skill set is. We know there was a Biletnikoff winner at Alabama. I still have questions whether or not he can be a true number one, and that's something the Browns need to sort out as we talk about, you know, how they rebuild the roster for next year. But he's certainly come on. He's averaging, I think, 94 yards a game over his last four games, I want to say. And he's really making strides, and he has the ability and he has the confidence that says, I can be that guy week in, week out. But he needs to prove it, and he needs to prove it against a top-level corner like Surtain.
Scott Petrak joining us, brownszone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work as he covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. I don't want to look too far down the road when it comes to your head coach and your general manager, but I do want to look at the roster moving forward. Is there something that's jumped out to you, Scott, other than deciding who your quarterback is, that, man, they better punch this area up for next year, regardless of who's in charge?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned quarterback, so it always starts there. After that, to me, a tackle has jumped, I would say, to the top of that list. Jeff, and I know Jack Conklin has played well since he's come back from the knee, and he says that the knee's healthy and he's as confident as ever, and he's playing at a high level. But you have to question if you're the organization and you're thinking long-term, okay, Jack's 30, he's had a series of injuries, how much can you count on him? Not that he can't be your starter week one. Obviously, I think that would be the plan, but you need a backup plan. DeJuan Jones, I don't think, showed enough at left tackle before he got hurt to say he can be the long-term answer at left tackle. And he hasn't. He's been in the league 2 years, and he's been finished both on IR. So I think you need to upgrade, and we know Jed Wills is not going to be here. So I think you need to add a tackle to that mix and give yourself three legitimate guys for two spots, and eventually Jack Conklin won't be here anymore. So I think that's a position you could address early in the draft, first or second round. We talked about receiver, and we always talk about receiver. It feels like even with Jerry Jeudy, even with Cedric Tillman emerging, you're a guy short. So that could be a position, whether or not it's a, you know, whether it's a rookie you draft early or a veteran, I would think receiver. And you probably need an upgrade at free safety. Juan Thorne is hurt again. He hasn't played well in his 2 years here. I could certainly see, and maybe Ronnie Hickman's the answer there, but I'm not ready to say that. And I think that's another position that would need to be upgraded.
Scott, what's your take on the AFC North? I mean, the Steelers, like the game against the Browns, I'm still kind of shocked that.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pittsburgh. I mean, if you look at it from a big picture and you can eliminate the Browns fan in me, like, I still can't believe the Steelers lost to the Browns. If I'm a Pittsburgh fan, I'm trying to figure it out. But you talk about the elements all you want. The Ravens lose yesterday. And by the way, the Browns are only a game behind. I mean, if you're looking for little milestones for the Browns, they're only a game behind the Bengals to get out of the basement. So I just right. Your thoughts on the AFC North.
It's hard to determine just how good the teams at the top of the division are. We know what's wrong with the Bengals. We know what's wrong with the Browns. We talked about that ad nauseum. But with the Bengals, they just can't stop anybody. And there's a historic number of games that they scored 30-plus points and can't win the game. And it's remarkable. Joe Burrow's probably playing at MVP level, and they can't win. But the two teams at the top, the Steelers are flawed. And I think you see those flaws, and you saw them even yesterday against the Bengals. yet they keep finding ways to win. And they're going to be in the playoffs. I have serious questions about what kind of playoff run they can make. You know, if Russell Wilson's thrown for 400 yards a game, then maybe they can make a deep run. But I think they're a flawed team. And Baltimore, I think Baltimore is the best team in this division, but they keep losing games. And I don't know. I can't put my finger on exactly what's the problem there. And if some of it's defense, but I think their defense played a little better against the Eagles. But, you know, Derrick Henry disappears, or they forget to use Derrick Henry at points in games. You know, if Lamar doesn't have a great game, they struggle. So I still think you're going to see the Ravens emerge as we get deeper into December and January and be a threat in the playoffs. I think they could go farther than Pittsburgh, but I think there's concerns for both those teams.
Scott Petrak's joining us. He's from the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com. Last thought here. Take a look at the running game for the Browns, and it's been non-existent, basically, you know, all season. Is it the running backs? Is it the line? Is it the coordinator who calls more passes? Whatever it is. Look around the league this year. The top three rushers and five of the top ten are veterans who change teams and are on the first year of a new team this year. I think that's something that's really interesting to keep an eye on as the Browns go into this offseason. And I hope Nick Chubb is back. But it makes me think there are plenty of options out there. There are some good free agent running backs. I'm just curious where that goes, Scott.
Yeah, that's interesting. They have to figure out what to do with Nick Chubb, number one, figure out if they believe he can return to the Nick Chubb he was, and then decide if they want to invest in a running back. And I'm not sure. Let's assume it's the same decision makers in place. I'm not sure that they feel that way. I kind of feel like they think, hey, you can go draft a guy in the mid rounds, and if you have the right scheme and you have the right line, you can have success with anybody at running back. And we know that they're going to have salary cap restraints given Deshaun Watson's massive salary cap hit. So I get your point, Jeff, and I'm not ruling it out. I'm just not convinced that that's the decision they would make, and I'm kind of leaning toward they bring back Nick Chubb and hope that he can return to being the Nick Chubb he was. But your point's well taken. If you look around the league, I mean, just watching Saquon by himself is enough to say, yeah, you know, that's worth an investment.
Yeah, you know, Derrick Henry was over the hill, right?
Yeah, right, right.
Wrong. Scott, appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight.
I bet the long shots, fellas.
Yes,
he is. We're having fun. Afternoon guys are coming out, getting you all ready for the Browns against the Broncos tonight. You'll hear it on the Browns Radio Network and right here on 92.3 The Fan.
You know, it's I live pretty close here, so I drive by here all the time. We're at the MGM Northfield Park, and like I always find it amazing how many great concerts they have out here.
Yeah, they really do.
To find their way this weekend.
Grand Funk is coming in March.
Oh, are you in? Are you going to be there?
I like Grand Funk Railroad.
Oh, Phelps. Grand Funk, can we get anybody on that? Anyway, great concerts coming up this weekend, too. Marshall Tucker Band is going to be here Friday night. They start at 8 o'clock. And the Kings of Cool, Dawny Iris and the Cruisers. That's how you got to say it, right? They Dawny. Got a little Pittsburgh in them. But I think about, like, you want to talk about great doubleheaders, Dawny Iris and Michael Stanley all the time.
Yeah.
That they would play. And, you know, Donnie's daughter lives here in town. Or I used to work with her at Channel 3. And, you know, and then she'll sometimes would hop on the skins and she'd play a little drums up there. So it was pretty cool.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's very cool. So Dawny Iris and the Cruisers are here on Saturday. And then...
Matteo Bocelli.
Yeah. You excited about that?
I'm pumped.
Just want to make sure they're here Sunday night at 7:30, and you can purchase your center stage tickets at the box office, Ticketmaster.com, but you got to be 21 and older, so make sure you take care of that. Find your groove at MGM Northfield Park.
All right,
this place is cool. I love this place.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's very, very classy.
Let's make the push for table. Let's make the push for table games out here.
Before we get into the Browns-Broncos, I got to go behind the scenes for a second.
Go for it.
So we're sitting here, and there are spotlights on us. You know, my retinas are getting fried, but we're quite illuminated, and we're sitting right next to each other.
Yeah,
Meredith, you didn't hear this.
No, I didn't.
I'm wearing a dark green sweater.
Are you going to call me out on this?
And he turns and he looks at me and he says, "Your eyes are really green."
I've never noticed that.
Do you have green eyes? And I took off my glasses and I, yeah. I've only known the dude for like 20 years.
I've got a better story than that.
I've known him for over 20 years, and he's looking at me and gazing into my eyes. Do you have green eyes?
Are you done?
I batted my eyes at him.
So I don't
creeped
know.
Him right out.
So you are one of the people that I think I've worked with you longer than anybody else between television.
You've known
and
me
radio.
About as long as you've known your wife. About. I think. You've
oh
known
no, I've known you longer than I've known my wife. I met you in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've
it was
known
a memorable
longer.
Meeting for me.
Yeah, I know you don't remember.
Plug it away,
it
was, little buckaroo. You'll
that's right. We were on the stairs of WKSR, which is now Black Squirrel Radio at Kent State University, and I remember those days. So this is amazing too. So you say that I never knew your eyes were green. I worked with Jay Crawford when we were in Columbus at Channel 10.
Yeah,
every day for I think close to 5 years.
Ding. You didn't notice the big thing.
I never once noticed that Jay has. Three different colored eyes. He's got one eye that I think is blue.
Jake Crawford has three eyes?
Well, no, he has but three different
Jay.
Colors. Three different colors among two eyes. And every once in a while I see him now, I'm fascinated by the fact not only that I think it's really cool and unique. So he's got one eye that's I think is blue, and then the other one is like half blue, and then half brown.
So that's two different colored eyes.
Well, it's... Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, all right. Sorry, there's no math on this show. So, but I never knew that about Jay, and I was.
Well, how about that?
And I'm trying to think.
I knew you had brown eyes.
Oh well, that's because some people would say, "You want me to fill in the blank on this or not get in trouble?"
No, don't.
Okay, I don't want to get in trouble.
Point.
Sometimes, yes, that's right. I'll stop at that point. But I worked with Jay every day for almost 5 years, and never realized that
you've worked with you stared me in the face every day for 13.
Just a year, more than that, like probably closer to 20.
TV when we did TV together, we sat next to each other as close as we're sitting there, and you just
That's
now
true.
Figured out I have green eyes.
So I don't really
glad Andy's paying attention.
I don't
to detail.
Make a lot of eye contact.
Way to be observant,
with Jeff. Just so you know. Because I'm listening to your voice.
Number to join us, not to talk about eyes, is 216-474-0092. Browns Broncos tonight. Scott Patrick was just with us. Scott from the Chronicle Telegram. Go read his work. He does a great job. Scott, I asked him to look ahead a little bit. He thought tackle might be a spot that they would look at, and it was the first one he went to after quarterback. We all know that deal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't argue with him.
No, I can't either.
I can't argue. In fact, I agree. I think a young, up-and-coming, good tackle would be a great addition to this team.
I can't argue that. I don't have that great feeling about a quarterback coming out in the draft this year. And I was like, you know, we always sit here, and it's end of November, early December. By the way, happy December. It's our first show in December.
Yeah, thanks.
And we always say, oh, there's no quarterback. And then somewhere along the line, something will emerge. You know, we've talked a lot about Shedeur Sanders and what impact he made. But everyone keeps saying this isn't a good draft for quarterbacks. This isn't. So I'm going to be honest. I'm not too upset with Jameis. So I'm good with – and I don't know maybe where the bar is for
kinda
me.
Kind of like him, huh?
Yeah, let's see what Jameis can do for the rest of the season and then make a determination on how desperate this team – could be about trying to land a quarterback. I don't know if you read a couple days ago, it might have been 2 weeks ago, Terry Pluto's column on just looking back on Deshaun Watson and who's to, you know, ultimately be responsible for him being here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Terry had that point just about when they brought him in, and I don't know why they were so desperate, other than the fact that maybe they upset Baker Mayfield at the time, but, you know, like, why were the Browns so desperate when they brought him in to bring in another quarterback? I think when you look at this organization since 99, being desperate for a quarterback is not a good look.
No. Nope.
It is not a good look at all. So, you know, if we're going to walk down this road again and try to, you know, reestablish the quarterback position here, let's not be desperate. That's going to be my big theme. Let's not be desperate.
Can you learn something about what's going on in Pittsburgh? About the Browns in that situation?
Yeah, they were.
I mean, they drafted Kenny Pickett. Maybe out of desperation. You know, mm-hmm. Kenny shared the training facility when he played at Pitt.
Yeah.
They liked him and blah, 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 blah.
It was a storyline.
Well, they maybe right? overestimated him.
Yeah.
And they rushed him out there, and it didn't work, and he's a backup in Philly now. And then what do? You went out and you get Russell Wilson for nothing. And then what do? You double down and you go get Justin Fields. And both of those guys, would you want either one of them here as a starter? I'd take either one right now. And I like Jameis.
I also wonder how we're going to view. You know, I talked about Ohio State and Michigan not playing or playing earlier in the season,
yeah.
And how we'll view that. When we hit 18 games, how will NFL teams look at the quarterback position? And do you really?
I think that's a ways off, though.
I don't know, man. I think we're 2 years away, though. I don't think.
Well,
we're
that's
very
a ways.
Far. But I do think
it's a ways enough that I'm not worried about it for the upcoming season about who's playing quarterback.
No, but as we kind of look forward, like you must have a. I don't think you can depend on a fourth
one guy.
I don't think you can depend on having one quarterback that can lead you through 18 games. And I also think that the days of drafting a quarterback in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, fifth and seventh round, drafting
and
a quarterback
lucky.
There and expecting them to be your backup quarterback, I think those are I just don't see it. I don't see it. Yeah. If you're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, I can see it. You know, that you might want to bring him in as the number two before you make him the number one. But I just don't – like – I'd be very skeptical of any quarterback that's drafted after the fourth round.
Well, the real feel-good story about Brock Purdy, you know, being the last guy in the draft, I sat there and watched him last night. Now, I know the conditions were terrible, and I know his team was dinged up, and Christian McCaffrey left the game, and blah, 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 and they don't have Brandon Ayuk. Brock Purdy looks like a guy that if he were playing for other teams, you'd think, well, we're gonna replace that guy.
Yeah. No,
and I don't know that they would. I don't know that they will, but... You know, okay, there's a guy that you thought you had it all taken care of. Now, do you have it taken care of or don't you? And that makes me think about, you know, the veteran quarterbacks who have stepped in. Look at Kirk Cousins. Came to Minnesota, was really good. He's gone to Atlanta. Maybe not so much.
Yeah, although you still like him.
You know, I do like Cousins, yeah. But it's not worked real well down there for him. They've been okay. They've had some great games. They've had some lousy games. You know, the Chargers did a number on them yesterday. And that's an interesting thing to me. Scott talking about wide receivers as well. I just think that position group is wildly thin here. I've thought that for some time. Then you trade Amari Cooper. Cedric Tillman steps up, does a nice job. He's out tonight with a concussion. So that lingers. And that's a shame because I thought he was really coming on. I really like Cedric Tillman. I think he's really good. But... just like DeJuan Jones. You know, Andy, hey, here's an opportunity. This guy's going to be really good. Let's see him play left tackle. Oh, he's out. Cedric Tillman, man, he's really played well. Let's see him play more at wide receiver. Oh, he's out. And you can only hope he's back next week against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was I understand everything. It's funny. You started talking about Kirk Cousins there, and I was thinking about yesterday. I don't know because, you know, I don't normally get a lot of time to watch pregame shows. Because we're always getting ready, and you know, I've got.
Sure.
I'm on.
You're
on
doing one.
I'm doing one at the same time, and yesterday was one of those rare days where we could. And I noticed Kirk Cousins was on with CBS like probably 15 minutes before the game in a live interview. I don't know if it was live; they may have taped it maybe an hour or two before. And I was trying
talking on game day.
Yeah,
heaven
like right
for,
before.
Heaven forbid.
But it was. I'm thinking. I'm assuming that they probably taped it once he got into uniform and did it. And I thought it was interesting that Cousins said. You know, we're going to try to go over – he alluded to the fact that they were going to try to go over the top yesterday and just kind of go through that, you know, the whole umbrella setup of a defense and that they were going to try to go on the other side of it. And I was just – I was fascinated by the fact that, you know, in all your years or all my years, I'm trying to think of, like, doing
all
interviews like
years.
That. Of trying to do that before a game.
Yeah, they don't
want
like
to – yeah,
like
I don't
– have that
team. And Cousins was just kind of – I think he wanted to just get to the game, but – he was pretty good at it. It was interesting to watch.
Networks are paying a lot of money.
No, that's true.
More than ever. And they're getting better access than ever before.
That's true.
Menigan started the show by depressing me.
I'm sorry.
But I get it. I get it. We're going to discuss this next. It involves a certain guy who his left arm recovered nicely.
Oh.
And he's cashed in because of it. That's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
Yes, he
we're
is.
We're having fun. Afternoon guys are coming out, getting you all ready for the Browns against the Broncos tonight. You'll hear it on the Browns Radio Network and right here on 92.3 The Fan.
You know, it's. I live pretty close to here, so I drive by here all the time. We're at the MGM Northfield Park, and like I always find it amazing how many great concerts they have out here.
Yeah, they really
able
do.
To find their way this
and
weekend.
Grand
is,
Funk is coming in March.
Oh, are you in? You going to be there?
I like Grand Funk Railroad.
Oh, Phelps. Grand Funk, can we get anybody on that? Anyway, great concerts coming up this weekend, too. Marshall Tucker Band is going to be here Friday night. They start at 8 o'clock. And the Kings of Cool, Dawny Iris and the Cruisers. That's how you got to say it, right? They
Dawny.
Got a little Pittsburgh in them. But I think about, oh, like, you want to talk about great doubleheaders, Donnie Iris and Michael Stanley, all the time.
Yeah.
That they would play. And, you know, Donnie's daughter lives here in town. I used to work with her at Channel 3. And, you know, and then she'll sometimes would hop on the skins and she'd play a little drums up there. So it was pretty cool.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's very cool. So Donnie Iris and the Cruisers are here on Saturday. And then.
Oh, Matteo Bocelli?
Yeah. You excited about that?
I'm pumped.
Just want to make sure they're here Sunday night at 7:30, and you can purchase your center stage tickets at the box office, Ticketmaster.com, but you got to be 21 and older, so make sure you take care of that. Find your groove at MGM Northfield Park.
All right,
this place is cool. I love this place.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's very, very classy.
Let's make the push for table. Let's make the push for table games out here.
Before we get into the Browns-Broncos, I got to go behind the scenes for a second.
Go for it.
So we're sitting here, and there's spotlights on us. You know, my retinas are getting fried, but we're quite illuminated, and we're sitting right next to each other.
Yeah,
Meredith, you didn't hear this.
No, I didn't.
I'm wearing a dark green sweater.
Are you going to call me out on this?
And he turns and he looks at me and he says, "Your eyes are really green."
I've never noticed that.
Do you have green eyes? And I took off my glasses and I've only known the dude for like 20 years.
I've got a better story than that.
I've known him for over 20 years, and he's looking at me and gazing into my eyes. Do you have green eyes?
Are you done?
I batted my eyes at him.
So I don't
creeped
know.
Him right out.
So you are one of the people that I think I've worked with you longer than anybody else between television.
You've known
and
me
radio.
About as long as you've known your wife. About. I think. You've
oh
known
no, I've known you longer than I've known my wife. I met you in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've
it was a memorable
longer.
Meeting for me.
Yeah, I know you don't remember.
Away,
it was,
little buckaroo.
That's right. We were on the stairs of WKSR, which is now Black Squirrel Radio at Kent State University, and I remember those days. So this is amazing too. So you say that I never knew your eyes were green. I worked with Jay Crawford when we were in Columbus at Channel 10.
Yeah,
every day for I think close to 5 years.
Ding. You didn't notice the big thing?
I never once noticed that Jay has. The three different colored eyes. He's got one eye that I think is blue.
Jay Crawford has three eyes?
Well, no, he has but three different
Jay.
Colors. Three different colors among two eyes, and every once in a while I see him now. I'm fascinated by the fact not only that I think it's really cool and unique. So he's got one eye that's I think is blue, and then the other one is like blue, half blue, and then half brown. And
so that's two different colored eyes.
Well, it's... Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, all right. Sorry. There's no math on this show. So, but I never knew that about Jay. And I was,
well, how about that?
And I'm trying to think.
I knew you had brown eyes.
Oh, well, that's because some people would say, you want me to fill in the blank on this or not get in trouble?
No, don't.
Okay, I don't want to get in trouble.
Point.
Sometimes, yes, that's right. I'll stop at that point. But I worked with Jay every day for almost 5 years and never realized that.
Yeah, you've worked you stared me in the face every day for 13.
Just a year, more than that, like probably closer to 20.
TV when we did TV together, we sat next to each other as close as we're sitting there, and you just
That's
now
true.
Figured out I have green eyes.
So I don't really
glad Andy's paying attention.
I don't
to detail.
Make a lot of eye contact.
Way to be observant,
with Jeff. Just so you know. Because I'm listening to your voice.
Number to join us, not to talk about eyes, is 216-474-0092. Browns Broncos tonight. Scott Patrick was just with us. Scott from the Chronicle Telegram. Go read his work. He does a great job. Scott, I asked him to look ahead a little bit. He thought tackle might be a spot that they would look at, and it was the first one he went to after quarterback. We all know that deal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't argue with him.
No, I can't either.
I can't argue. In fact, I agree. I think a young, up-and-coming, good tackle would be a great addition to this team.
I can't argue that. I don't have that great feeling about a quarterback coming out in the draft this year. And I was like, you know, we always sit here, and it's end of November, early December. By the way, happy December. It's our first show in December.
Yeah, thanks.
And we always say, oh, there's no quarterback. And then somewhere along the line, something will emerge. You know, we've talked a lot about Shedeur Sanders and what impact he made. But everyone keeps saying this isn't a good draft for quarterbacks. This isn't. So I'm going to be honest. I'm not too upset with Jameis. So I'm good with – and I don't know maybe where the bar is for
me. Kind of like him, huh?
Yeah, let's see what Jameis can do for the rest of the season and then make a determination on how desperate this team – could be about trying to land a quarterback. I don't know if you read a couple days ago. It might have been 2 weeks ago. Terry Pluto's column on just looking back on Deshaun Watson and who is to, you know, ultimately be responsible for him being here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Terry had that point just about when they brought him in, and I don't know why they were so desperate, other than the fact that maybe they upset Baker Mayfield at the time. But, you know, like, why were the Browns so desperate when they brought him in to bring in another quarterback? I think when you look at this organization since 99, being desperate for a quarterback is not a good look.
No.
It is not a good look at all. So, you know, if we're going to walk down this road again and try to, you know, reestablish the quarterback position here, let's not be desperate. That's going to be my big theme. Let's not be desperate.
Can you learn something about what's going on in Pittsburgh? About the Browns in that situation?
Yeah, they were.
I mean, they drafted Kenny Pickett. Maybe out of desperation. You know, mm-hmm. Kenny shared the training facility when he played at Pitt.
Yeah.
They liked him and blah, 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 blah.
It was a storyline.
Well, they maybe overestimated him.
Yeah.
And they rushed him out there, and it didn't work, and he's a backup in Philly now. And then what do? You went out and you get Russell Wilson for nothing. And then what do? You double down and you go get Justin Fields. And both of those guys, would you want either one of them here as a starter? I'd take either one right now. And I like Jameis.
I also wonder how we're going to view. You know, I talked about Ohio State and Michigan not playing or playing earlier in the season,
yeah.
And how we'll view that. When we hit 18 games, how will NFL teams look at the quarterback position? And do you
I think that's a ways off, though.
I don't know, man. I think we're 2 years away.
A ways enough that I'm not worried about it for the upcoming season about who's playing quarterback.
No, but as we kind of look forward, like, you must have a strong. Like, I don't think you can depend on a fourth
one guy.
I don't think you can depend on having one quarterback that can lead you through 18 games. And I also think that the days of drafting a quarterback in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, fifth and seventh round,
and
drafting
and
a quarterback
lucky.
There and expecting them to be your backup quarterback. I think those are I just don't see it. I don't see it. Yeah. If you're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, I can see it. You know, that you might want to bring him in as the number two before you make him the number one. But I just don't – like, I'd be very skeptical of any quarterback that's drafted after the fourth round.
Well, the real feel-good story about Brock Purdy, you know, being the last guy in the draft, I sat there and watched him last night. Now, I know the conditions were terrible, and I know his team was dinged up, and Christian McCaffrey left the game, and – blah, 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 and they don't have Brandon Ayuk. Brock Purdy looks like a guy that if he were playing for other teams, you'd think, well, we're gonna replace that guy.
Yeah.
No, and I don't know that they would. I don't know that they will. But, you know, okay. There's a guy that you thought you had it all taken care of. Now, do you have it taken care of or don't you? And that makes me think about, you know, the veteran quarterbacks who have stepped in. Look at Kirk Cousins. Came to Minnesota, was really good. He's gone to Atlanta. Maybe not so much.
Yeah, although you still like him.
You know, I do like Cousins, yeah. But it's not worked real well down there for him. They've been okay. They've had some great games. They've had some lousy games. You know, the Chargers did a number on them yesterday. And that's an interesting thing to me. Scott talking about wide receivers as well. I just think that position group is wildly thin here. I've thought that for some time. Then you trade Amari Cooper. Cedric Tillman steps up, does a nice job. He's out tonight with a concussion, so that lingers. And that's a shame because I thought he was really coming on. I really like Cedric Tillman. I think he's really good. But just like DeJuan Jones, you know, Andy, hey, here's an opportunity. This guy's going to be really good. Let's see him play left tackle. Oh, he's out. Cedric Tillman, man, he's really played well. Let's see him play more at wide receiver. Oh, he's out. And you can only hope he's back next week against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand everything. It's funny. You started talking about Kirk Cousins there, and I was thinking about yesterday. I don't know because, you know, I don't normally get a lot of time to watch pregame shows because we're always getting ready. And, you know, I've got
sure.
I'm on
– You're
on
doing one.
I'm doing one at the same time. And yesterday was one of those rare days where we could. And I noticed Kirk Cousins was on with CBS like probably 15 minutes before the game. In a live interview. I don't know if it was live. They may have taped it maybe an hour or two before. And I was trying.
Talking on game day.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
But it was. I'm assuming that they probably taped it once he got into uniform and did it. And I thought it was interesting that Cousins said, you know, we're going to try to go over. He alluded to the fact that they were going to try to go over the top yesterday and just kind of go through that, you know, the whole umbrella setup of a defense, and that they were going to try to go on the other side of it. And I was just, I was fascinated by the fact that, you know, in all your years or all my years, I'm trying to think of like doing
all
interviews like
years.
That, of trying to do that before a game.
Yeah, they don't like, one of the, they
yeah,
don't
I don't
like to have that.
And Cousins was just kind of, I think he wanted to just get to the game, but he was pretty good at it. I just, it was interesting to watch.
Networks are paying a lot of money.
No, that's true.
More than ever. And they're getting better access than ever before.
That's true.
Menigan started the show by depressing me.
I'm sorry.
But I get it. I get it. We're going to discuss this next. It involves a certain guy who, his left arm recovered nicely.
Oh.
And he's cashed in because of it. That's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.